Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The documentary Dawnland tells the story of the state of Maine's effort to come to terms with a shocking and shameful part of its history. When state welfare workers removed Indian children from their families and placed them in foster care. The film follows the work of the state's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, set up in 2012, which gathered stories from the state's indigenous people. Among them, a woman named Georgina, who told the commission what happened to her and her sister when they were taken from their family and placed in foster care.
My baby sister and I sat in a tub of bleach one time, tried to convince each other that we're getting white. And then we knew they would accept us. The boys in our school, they said we were dirt and we were used for one thing. Where was the state? Where was the state that was supposed, they were supposed to have been our guardians. But where were they?
Dawnland will be making its Boston premiere at the Independent Film Festival Boston tomorrow. And joining me now is Adam Mazo. He's a producer and co-director of Dawnland. Adam, good to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And joining us from Bangor, Maine is Dawn Neptune Adams. She's a member of the Penobscot Nation who shares her story in the film. When she was four, Maine social workers took her away from her mother and put her into foster care. And Dawn, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
And Dawn, let me start, if I could, with you. Can you tell me a little bit more about what happened to you? Give us a little bit of your story.
When I was 4 years old, my younger brother and I were left at a grocery store by a babysitter. My mother was a teenager at the time, and she had been on a drinking binge. We were placed in a non-native foster home. We were only supposed to be there for 2 weeks. It was supposed to be temporary. This was in 1978. There are these years, 500 years of intergenerational trauma that we're all dealing with. And this taking that started with the residential schools and, continues to this day with the foster care system.
So, Adam, you heard Dawn's story before, and it was one of many that we hear in Dawnland. Tell me, first of all, why you wanted to make this film.
When we heard about the Truth Commission forming back in 2013, it felt like a really historic moment for Maine, for New England, for this country, the first government-sanctioned Truth and Reconciliation Commission in this country's history. And it seemed like an opportunity to really share a history and contemporary reality that has been really obscured and really hidden from public view for certainly my entire life. And I think that people really don't know about what has happened to Native peoples in this country. We are just completely unaware of this story.
Let me ask you a little bit about the federal policy behind this, because Dawnland, your film, focuses on Maine, but this was part of a federal policy of breaking up Indian families, and it happened across Indian country. How did the Department of Interior justify this policy?
I think this policy and practice of breaking up Native families, as I understand it, is as old as first contact with European settlers. Starting all the way back in 1492, we started with murder and genocide, and that evolved into things like assimilation and boarding schools, and eventually kind of filtered its way into the child welfare system. We'll make them white. That'll make them better.
So a central mission of the commission is to gather testimony from Maine's Indian tribes, the indigenous people who were victimized by this process. And Dawn, you gave testimony and told your story. Can you give us a little bit of a sense of what this forced removal did to you and did to your life?
Well, I've been diagnosed with CPTSD. My first diagnosis was in 2005. Now, CPTSD is different from PTSD because it's a long-term thing. It's complex PTSD, where PTSD is sometimes derived from one or two traumatic events. Complex PTSD comes from a long-term being in a dangerous situation and not being able to escape.
Mm.
I see my soul sisters and brothers out there suffering from, you know, the same thing. It goes unspoken, but we all know. We give each other a nod, and yeah, I think it's pretty prevalent.
I understand. I want to play another cut from the film. One of the members of the commission is named Kisa Tanamuk, and he's a member of the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe. And let's listen to what he says about the creation of the commission. It's very interesting. Here we go.
I never would have thought the state of Maine would ever engage with the Wabanaki on this level. They might see it as a superficial gesture, but we see it as something very deep, unnecessary transition from being an occupier to being a neighbor with legitimacy.
So, Adam, what's your view on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission? Superficial gesture, or, you know, was it, did it have real legitimacy? What did you come away with?
I think to some extent that remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Truth Commission somewhat intentionally was pretty private during its run. And as Don Land is coming out into the world, you know, beginning tomorrow, we'll see the ripples of that and we'll see how people perceive it. I think it's significant to have the state of Maine government and all the five Wabanaki tribal chiefs signing the mandate that created the commission in Maine and allowed for this commission to happen is a signal to folks around the country that Indigenous history is U.S. history, that Wabanaki history is New England history, and that it matters, and that these are foundational questions about the way this country was built. And this commission, I think, brings up those stories that, as Don mentioned, tragically are all too common all around Indian country. Mm-hmm. I think folks often ask, this is kind of rare, right? These are unusual. And unfortunately, no. Everywhere we go in Indian country, we hear that happened to my auntie or that happened to my sister, my brother, my cousin. Every single person has a story.
I want to ask you about one point you make in the film. It's clear there's some tension on the commission and around this process between whites and Indigenous people. And first of all, the commission itself is divided between whites and Indigenous people. And in the film, we see at one point in which Indigenous people are being brought together to tell their story, the whites are asked to stay away. So here's Esther Ann. She's a Passamaquoddy and co-director of the Maine Wabanaki Reach, which is an organization that acts as an advisor to the commission.
It's not about making white people feel welcome. It's not about making you guys feel, it's not about you. It's about Zibayig, it's about my people, and that's where I'm from. It's about my people feeling safe and honored and listened to and validated. So there's that moment where you choose to have your voice.
So Adam, talk a little bit about how both groups deal with this fundamental issue throughout this process and how reconciliation is trying to bring them together.
This is something that, at least from what we witnessed, the commission wrestled with a lot about what does reconciliation mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can you reconcile two things that were never whole, Europeans and Indigenous people in this land? And I think throughout the process, as people will see in the film, reconciliation is a long ongoing process, and it means different things to different people. And a lot of, you know, Esther talks about a lot of white folks maybe kind of want to rush right to the reconciliation. Oh, why can't we all just get along? And yes, that's a great aspiration. But there's also she talks about reconciling ourselves to the truth of what European people, settlers, have done to Indigenous people and how settler colonialism is an active ongoing process in this country today.
So, Dawn, let me ask you. Adam brought up this really interesting idea. Can you reconcile two things that never really came together in the first place in a way that made sense? So what does reconciliation mean to you?
Well, in the findings, it was found that cultural genocide was taking place, has been taking place, and continues to take place. For reconciliation to happen, cultural genocide has to stop. It's not only the kids being taken away from their families. It's also territorial theft. It's paternalism from the state toward Indigenous people. And that continues to this day. You know, the state of Maine is trying to steal the stewardship of 70 miles of Penobscot territory at this time. That is cultural genocide. So we really can't have reconciliation until efforts are made to stop the pattern that has been happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you mentioned this idea of cultural genocide, because this is a point that is made quite forcefully by a commission member who is white. He's Matthew Dunlop. He's the Secretary of State of Maine. I want to play a little bit of what he says.
When you forbid people from speaking their language, you take their children away and put them in totally different cultural settings. What are you really doing? What else do you call it besides cultural genocide?
So, Adam, that's pretty powerful stuff. What else did the commission find? I mean, a really basic question. This idea of taking kids away from their families, is that still happening?
Yes, it is still happening. We end the film with some statistics. We've seen jaws drop and heard gasps at the current rates of removal of Native children in this country that are vastly disproportionate compared to non-Native children, compared to white children. The compelling question is, what is the relationship between the taking of the children and the taking of the land, as Don's alluding to at the Penobscot River and the ongoing seizure of land and children? It's something that we still have to wrestle with. We want to change the way that we're teaching about Indigenous history and U.S. history in Boston, where we live, and across the country.
Mm. So the truth, Maine's Truth and Reconciliation Commission offered a set of recommendations for the state, including respecting tribal sovereignty, honoring the choices of the tribes to support healing, celebrating cultural resurgence of the tribes. Has any change come since these findings were released back in 2015?
Maine Wabanaki Reach, the organization that essentially birthed the TRC, the Truth Commission, has been doing ally trainings. And I think that's been spreading. That trained close to 1,000 allies, I believe, to talk about these things, to bring these stories into schools. And I think there's starting to be a little bit more engagement on these issues than there was. There has been some movement. I think there's a little bit more awareness that Wabanaki people are here.
Don, I want to ask the last question to you. As a member of the Penobscot Nation, do you view the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission as a success?
I do see it as a success. I see this as, a veil being pulled back. For so long, this was invisible to, mainstream society. And what the process has done is to bring those things out into the open. And the movie Dawnland, especially, is helping with that.
Well, I want to thank you, Dawn Neptune Adams. She's one of the people who tells her story in the documentary Dawnland, which was co-directed along with Ben Pender Cudlip by Adam Mazo. Adam, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Dawn, thank you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And Dawnland will have its Boston premiere at the Independent Film Festival Boston tomorrow. You can find information about it on our website, radioboston.org. And that's it for this week. Radio Boston's a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna and Chris Siderick, with help from Zoe Mitchell. Tim Skog is our technical director. Renee Marchando engineered our show today. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend. This is Radio Boston.